I don't know if I can go over top of this or not. Am I allowed to step over this, Julie? This boundary, all right? All right. Seen the tape sitting there. I asked him what it was about. He said, getting ready for some play stuff here before long. But you know what? I went down to Charleston Thursday night. Went down to the Gaithers Christmas concert. And they done Chainbreaker down there, by the way, and one of the songs that, that Tony sings. But anyway, Lord, give me this message as I was sitting down there listening to that, you know. And I'm going to ask you the question that that God had put upon me down there at night. You are a slave here this morning. Why don't you raise your hand? Do you know you are a slave here this morning? That's not a question. You're a slave here this morning. The question is, to whom are you a slave? That's the question. And you know what? I'm going to try to answer that for you this morning. But you are a slave here this morning, one way or the other. The only question that remains is, to whom are you a slave this morning? If you would turn to John, the 8th chapter. John 8, beginning with verse 31. And Tink warned me. She said, if I say anything about her, she's over there this morning. She said that she has peeps in here this morning that will tell her if I say anything about her. All right? I just did. So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to find out who the rats are here this morning, okay? If you would turn to John, the 8th chapter, we're going to begin with about the 31st verse, if you would, please. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered and said unto him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Say it with me. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. Amen. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, we ask you to be with this service this morning. The rest of it, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would be with the sermon this morning. Lord, you know you are so good to us, Lord. We praise you and we give you the honor that you so rightly deserve this morning. Father, we just ask you to be with the rest of those in here today. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would open hearts, Lord. I pray that they be receptive, Lord. I pray, Father, that, you know what? That you would just take me out of the way of this, Lord. That the anointing would come, Lord. And that, Father, that, Lord, your message would go out the way that you have it. And amen. And amen. Again, the question I ask you. You are a slave this morning, but to whom are you a slave? I read a story recently about a little boy, and his dad had taken him outside. The little boy was like about 3-4 years old. The dad took him outside, and he was going to do some work outside, do some trimming of some hedges and do some other stuff around the house. And when he took him out, he took the little boy, and he sat right down beside him. He looked him right in the eye. He said, listen, he said, you can go over in this yard over here. That's the neighbor's yard, and play if you want to. He said, I've got a little concrete area right here where you can ride your big wheel. He said, you can do that all you want to. If you want to, you can go out in the backyard. And he said, it's fenced in. I said, you can go out there. I've got a nice swing set for you. I have a sandbox for you. You go out there and you play all that you want to play. He said, or you can stand right here and watch me work on these hedges. Or you can go in the house and your mother's in there, and you can go in there and you can sit down and watch TV. And she said that would be all right as well. He said, he looked at that little boy and he said, do you understand what I'm telling you? And the little boy looked at him and said, yes, you know, shook his head and said, yes, Dad, Daddy, I understand what you're saying. He said, immediately the man let go of his hand, got up, walked, and he told him this. He said, but one thing I do not want you to do. He said, there's this road, this street out front. Do not go to that street. It's busy. You'll get yourself hurt out there. He said, and he finished telling him. He said, he got up out of there. And he said, he walked over, and he said, he started to grab his trimmers. He said, he turned around, and that little boy ran right to that road and stuck his foot right in the road and looked around at him and smiled as if to say, you know what? You know, you told me, but I'm going to do what I want to do, you know? You know what I would have done? Probably what you would have done. I know what I would have done. I would have probably, me and him would have had a little bit of a discussion. And he probably would have been in the house sitting down, probably not watching TV. Let's just put it that way. But I read that story, and when I read that story after thinking about what the Lord had told me about this, you know what? Why do we do that? Why do human beings do that? Why do whenever we, you know what, why is it that it's in the nature of us to do and to press the boundaries whenever boundaries are set out there before us? I'll tell you, I was one of those kids whenever I was growing up, Sean, that pushed the boundaries. Amen? Maybe some of you in here were like that, that pushed the boundaries somewhat. You know what? The parameters were laid out there. You know what was before you, but yet you wanted to see how far you could go. And you know why? Because I believe that it is in the nature of man to do that. Amen? Why? You know, why after understanding, let me say, why after understanding all the freedoms that that little boy had, his dad told him he could do a lot of different things, and there was plenty of stuff for him to do. Why is it that after all that stuff, he decided in his own thing, you know what? I'm going to do it the way that I want to do it. You know what? We want to be free to do things our way. That's why. That's in the nature of mankind. We want to be free to live by our own rules. We want to push the boundaries farther and farther. And also, you know, we want to be free to make our own decisions about what is right and about what is wrong. I've seen that, and I believe that is in the heart of mankind. I really do. That rebellious spirit started in the Garden of Eden. We know that, do we not? We know that. When God told Adam in Genesis 2:16, he told him this. And he said, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The reality is rejection of doing what we are told to by others. We just think, you know what? Lies in the heart of every human being, and it started right there in the Garden of Eden. That's what I believe. And I believe it's in the heart of every individual in here today. If you really want to think about it a little bit, we want to try to push the boundaries sometimes, do we not? You know what God does with us, Ron? He gets right down beside of us, and he tells us, you know what? I can let you do this, and you'll do this, and you have freedom to do this. And you know what we do? Sometimes we're just like that little boy. We get right up out of there after God tells us that, and you know what we do? We go out here, and we not only put our little toe in there and our big toe, sometimes we'll put our foot in there, we'll put our leg in there, we'll go right on doing what God does not want us to do. And I've seen that happen many times. Well, and you say, and it started in the Garden of Eden. Let me tell you. Remember whenever the serpent, who was more subtle than anything in it, he went to Eve. Remember what God told Adam? He said, "Thou shalt not eat of the tree." What did Eve say to the devil? What did the devil say? "Thou shalt not touch it or eat it." See how the devil works in people's lives? You see how he does it? So well, here's Eve. Here's a tree. So she walks up to it, and the devil said, "Well, you shall not surely die." So she goes up, and she kind of touches it like this. "Well, I didn't die. God lied. I didn't die." And that's not what God said. God said, "Don't eat of it." So then what happens? Well, the devil keeps on talking to her a little bit more. Well, I didn't die because I touched it. So now I won't die if I eat of it either. So the fruit was good to look upon. So she grabbed it, and of course she ate of it. And she didn't die the way she thought she was going to die, right? She didn't die that way. We know she died spiritually. At that moment, sin entered into the world. But what happens is, so she takes it to Adam, and she tells Adam, "Listen, you know what? I touched that tree, and I've ate of this fruit, and I didn't die. So God lied, right? So here, you try it." And that's how we push the boundaries and keep on pushing them and keep on pushing them. Because you know what? We don't believe sometimes what the Word of God says. We don't believe sometimes the boundaries that He sets for us and what He tells us. Because why? Because we think in our own minds, "I'll get away with this. I'll get away with this." Listen, I tell you, I know what I was like growing up. Amen? I know what I was like growing up. I know how I was and how what I did. And I thought, well, you know what? I get away with this. I can do a little bit more. If I get away with this, I can do more and more and more. And you see, you get to the point to where, you know what, you think, well, you know, all that stuff is a bunch. You know, my grandmother, a lover, and she used to tell me this, just bear with me. She said, you know what, if you keep playing in that fire like that, you're going to pee to bed tonight. You ever heard that? Oh, yeah, we've told our kids that, right? You keep doing that, you're going to pee to bed tonight. You know what, I played in the fire, I didn't pee to bed. You see how we sometimes can make this stuff, we can make this stuff sound so, you know what, if you do this, and then your kids, well, I didn't do that, so maybe there's other stuff that I can get into. But you know what, God created us and loves us. God wants to guide us. God wants to direct each of our paths and shower us with blessings. I believe that. The truth of the matter is, God, like I told you, God gets right down beside of us, and he talks to us, and you know what? He looks us right square in the eyes, and through his word and through his spirit, he tells each of us that he has made a way, and he explains what we must do to accept that way. He explains it right to us. And he tells us just exactly what we've got to do to, you know what, to get to where we need to be with him and to get blessed and to judge. And you know what? And he explains it to us. And I tell you, just like that little boy, you know what? We just turn, go and try it and take it and push it all the way out there, knowing full well that there will be a consequence one of these days. But yet, we keep on going. Listen, you know what? Let's see. All these restrictions. You know, that's all people see sometimes. You know what? You tell them about Jesus Christ and how that they need to come to know Jesus as their Savior. And a lot of people, all that they look at is the restrictions. They say, well, you know, you're not going to be allowed to do this. You're not going to be allowed to do this. I'm going to tell you what, the moment that I got saved, Sean, I have been more free. I have been more, by the grace of God, he has made, I have enjoyed life more than what I ever did on the other side of this thing. And to let people realize, you know, God, they say, well, all God wants to do is put restrictions on us. That is not the case. God wants to set you free. He wants to set us free. And yet, there are times we cannot see it. I want to talk about two classes of people this morning as I get into the rest of the sermon this morning. I want to talk about those who are lost, and I want to talk about those who are saved. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I also want to be blunt with you this morning, and I will be blunt here in a little bit. To get God's best, we need to let go, and we need to trust God. Amen? We need to let go. We need to trust him to let God have authority, to have lordship over our lives. And that is hard for us to do because you know why I said? Within every one of us is this thing to, you know what? I don't want somebody to tell me how to live my life. I don't want somebody to direct my path. I want to do it my way. But God's saying, listen, I have a better way. I've got a way to give you the blessings and give you what's needed in your life. But yet you keep fighting me about it. For many a lost person, many Christians, that's the hardest thing for them to do, is to give up their lives and have God have complete lordship over their lives. God told the nation of Israel this. He said this in Jeremiah 29:11 and through 13. And this is, you've heard me say this scripture before, and it's very important that you understand this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. This verse is important, the last one. And ye shall seek me and find me. What's it say? When ye shall search for me with all your heart. I'm one of those preachers that believe that there are too many times when people or come to this altar and then go back and come to this altar and go back and keep coming, which I say, amen. You keep doing it all you want. Pray God, it's what it's for. But listen to me. You don't seem to get what you want. You don't seem to get that feeling. Listen to me. God says to give him all of your heart. Don't just keep a little piece. He's saying he wants every bit of it. That's hard, Greg. That's hard to do. It's hard to put our trust so much completely in him that we give him. He said, and listen, I will reach you, and ye shall seek me. And he said, you'll find me. This is God speaking. And he said, you'll find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. You can find him. I believe the Bible. Amen? And I believe that every individual has the opportunity to find Jesus Christ, to find God, to come in communion with God this morning, if you search for him with all of your heart. You know, that's yielding of our lives will free us. And here's something else. Listen to what else God's Word tells us here. In John 8, 31, then said Jesus to those Jews, like I read a little bit ago, which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you know what the crowd did? Like so many respond today, that crowd responded just like so many that I have talked to and so many that I have preached to, right, frankly, have responded down through the years. They said this, we are Abraham's descendant. We have never been slaves to anyone. There's nothing wrong in our lives. We're good. We're good. We're good moral people. Besides, it's my life, and I'll live it the way that I want it. Jesus replied, and it goes to all of you sitting in here today. It goes to me, and it goes to anyone out there in the world. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Listen, if you are lost here this morning, you are a slave to sin. You are a slave to the devil. And I'll get to who else you're a slave to here in just a little bit. But you know what? If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you may think that you have your life under control. You may think you're the one that's in control of your life. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, Jesus said that anyone who sins is a slave to sin. I ask you again this morning, who are you a slave to? Who are you a slave to? You can come to me and tell me all you want to, that I'm my own person, I live my own life. Not according to God's word, you're not. You're a slave to sin this morning. If you do not know him as your slave. Folks, everyone is a slave to something. You're either a slave to sin, the devil has you under his control, or you are a slave to God. There is no other options open to mankind. And I'll get to why you're a slave to God here in a little bit. It is not what you think. It is not. I'm going to say, praise God, if you are a slave to God this morning, actually. To be in charge of your own life is to believe the greatest lie that Satan has come up with. I'm here to tell you, you are not in charge of your own life. And let me tell you this, if you think you are in charge of your own life, that is not freedom. Freedom only comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. And Tink's back her, by the way, so you don't have to tell her anything I said about her. That's the way that it is. We are not, you know, Satan would like to deceive us into thinking so. You know what? James 1:15 tells us, just tells us what Satan's so-called freedom eventually does for us. James 1:15, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what happens with your so-called freedom. If you're living that in your life, if you're thinking this morning, you're here this morning, that my life, I'll live it the way that I want to. That is where your so-called freedom will end up eventually getting you. Just like it did with Adam and Eve, he deceived them. He deceived them. You shall not surely die. No, they didn't die right then, but brothers and sisters, they died spiritually. And if you are lost here this morning, I'm going to be blunt with you. You're lost spiritually this morning. You're separated from God. There's no hope. Do you understand? This is how serious it is. I know this isn't some rosy red Christmas sermon. But you know what? If you are here this morning lost and undone without Jesus Christ in your life, there is no hope for you. Unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the hope that you have. That is the hope that you have. You know what? Just like with Adam and Eve, you know, we'll start cozying up to the idea of sin. And people, I've seen people, it's happened down there. They start cozying up, just like that little boy. You know what? Yeah, he went down there and he just stuck his foot out in the road first. You know, he just wanted to try Dad's what he was doing, but he wanted to stick his foot out there and say, see, I can do that. I can do that. That's how sin starts in people's lives. See that? It didn't hurt me. I can do that, and it ain't going to bother. Hey, that isn't that bad. And before you know it, not only are you cozying up to it, you're running right out in the middle of 21 out here. That's what you're doing. Hebrews 11:21, choosing rather, this is what Moses said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Anyone's going, you know what? There is pleasure in sin for a season. I'm just going to tell you, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but that season will end. It will end. Before we know it, we're like that little boy. We're running straight, head first, right out into the middle of 21. Care less about the consequences. Not one addict, not one drug addict, not one alcoholic will ever tell you when they're growing up that they wanted to grow up and be a drug addict. Amen? Not one alcoholic will ever tell you, whenever they were a young kid growing up, that's what I wanted to be. I want to be an alcoholic is what I want to be. Not one of them. I'm here to tell you, not a one of them. They should never dreamed of becoming a slave to addiction. It was just one drink. What? The devil, can you hear the devil whispering? It's just one drink. It's okay. It's just one pill. It's okay. It's just one time snorting meth. It's okay. Can you hear the devil telling people that? Time after time after time. And before you know it, you say, well, you know what? I took one drink. That wasn't that bad. Not one alcoholic that had to start one drink, Ron, right? They started one time with one drink. That's all it took. One drug addict, whatever their preference was, it took one time to start. And you know what? That's how Satan works. That's how he does it. You know what? You keep pushing the boundary. And then before you know it, you're an addict. You're a slave. It just takes one time. And how about sex outside of marriage? How about that? We know the consequences sometimes of what happens with that. You know, there's unwanted pregnancies. Sometimes there's a disease involved. And let me tell you this too. And I'm just going to be as blunt as I can be with you this morning, okay? I don't care if you're on every contraceptive made to mankind. If you're having sex when you're not married, it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm just going to put it out there to you blunt. And you say, you know what? Sex outside of marriage is wrong. Because you don't get caught doesn't make it right. Because you don't get pregnant doesn't make it right. Listen to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now listen to this. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners. And what's it say? Shall inherit the kingdom of God. How much plainer can that be? How plain can that be? I don't think it gets much plainer. But again, Satan's by and standing and whispering in your ear, it's okay. We're going to be getting married before long. It's okay. If the Word of God says that it's not okay no matter what the situation. That's what it says. And it's okay, you're getting married. I don't care if you're 14. I don't care if you're 104. It's not right. It's not right. But everyone else is doing it. What does it say in Exodus 30:23-2? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Amen? I don't care if the President of the United States says it's okay. I don't care if 70% of Americans thinks it's okay. It's not okay if the Word of God says it's not okay. Amen? That's what the Word of God says. Okay? And again I say, sex outside of marriage is wrong. It is wrong, absolutely wrong. And if you're caught, and it doesn't, I don't care if you don't get caught, it does not make it right. And if the entire world is doing it, it does not make it right. Sex with anyone other than your husband or your wife is wrong. Back up and read 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter again. I don't care. My spouse isn't treating me right. Or the other person is really saying all the right things. You know, right things to me. Listen to me. Listen. It's not right if you're doing it out of the confines of God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly what I say. And I will believe God's word over anything else. It also goes on to say here, it says, you know what? You can fall into that slave trap. You can do that. Listen, the world has succumbed to Satan's lie about homosexuality as well. They love each other. So what's wrong with that? Besides, if you don't agree, you're a bigot. You're not showing your Christian love by going against this. Folks, we should not treat anybody wrongly, and I'm not here to advocate that whatsoever, but I'm going to tell you right now, I will not agree with what God's word says is wrong. Folks, if any preacher, if any Sunday school teacher, if any college professor, if any grandma or grandpa tells you that is right, they are lying to you this morning. We cannot say that right is wrong. We, in any shape, way, or form, we cannot say that. And again, I got scripture. I'm not just saying this up here because Dave Long's the one up here saying it. Romans 3:4 says this, God forbid, Jay, let God be true, but every other man is a liar, but God be true. Romans 1:25-28, you know the scripture. I've read it here before. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use, that is, which against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not listen to this, this is scary. And even that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. I want somebody to tell me is that not plain? Is that not plain? But yet, God has given us the boundaries for families. God has given us the boundaries for sex in families. And you know what we do? We try to push it and keep going with it and go with it. And listen to me. We have become slaves to what God is pushed, to what God surely does not. Can they be saved? Yes, they absolutely can be saved. Anybody can be saved. Praise God. You know what? Anybody. It says in John 3:16, it tells us, for God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever, it says, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But guess what? An old preacher used to preach to me, and I heard him say it many times. You know what? You get saved, you get out of the sinning business. Amen? You get out of the sinning business. You don't live together out of marriage. You don't do all you don't have sex out of marriage. You know, that's what God wants for us to do. That's what it's about. And we cannot make right wrong and wrong right, no matter how we do it. Young and old have become slaves to Satan's way of thinking. Don't be a slave to pride. Don't be a slave to pride here this morning. Too many think God is a crutch. Have you ever heard that? God's just a crutch. You know what? I'm a self-made individual, Sean. I do this stuff on my own. They think that God's a crutch. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I've limped many times in my life, and praise God, I need Him. How about you this morning? I've limped many a time in my life. And you know what? If they want to go down that path, yeah, God is my crutch, and I gladly say He's my crutch this morning. I gladly say that because you know what? I believe God wants us to depend on Him, meaning everyone who believes in God is not strong enough to stand on their own. I don't see that. I look around here this morning and I know your lives long enough. I know that you are strong people, strong individuals. And I know this morning, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has given you the strength. You know what? Let me say again. Yes, praise God. God is a crutch, but who hasn't had a limp in their life from time to time? I have. We live in a broken world. Ryan says it many times. He said his life, he was broken. He was brought down. And you know what? We live in a broken world. Matthew 11, 28 tells us this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. There have been times I have been heavy laden in my life. I have been burdened. And there's the only one thing that I could do is come to Jesus Christ. Come to this altar. Come to an altar at my house and get to know. He said, you know what? And I will give you rest. And that's what he did. He has given me rest. And I praise him for that this morning. I thank him for that this morning. Satan's whispering. You know what? You don't need God or anyone else. That's what he whispers. And some people get this pride in their life. You know, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. That's what happens. And in John, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me ask you again, who are you a slave to this morning? Turn with me to Romans 6, 16 through 23. Give you a minute to get there because this is important. Romans 6, beginning with verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things thereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now being made free from sin, and mark this in your Bibles, and become servants to God. Who are you serving this morning? Ye have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the margins of your Bible, out from servants, in this scripture right here, write down this word. It's called D-O-U-L-O-S is what it's called. This is what it means to be a servant. It means to be binded to be bound to. That's what it means. If you are a servant of sin and a servant of the devil, you are bound to the one that you are serving. If you're a servant of God, you are bound to him this morning. I would rather be bound to the one that has love, that has life everlasting. I'd rather have him than the one that offers death. Do you know what the Romans did to someone that murdered someone? You think our laws are harsh today? If they were found guilty of murdering someone, they would bind them to that dead corpse, head face to face. That's how they would do it. And they would bind them together until the other person died. And they had to stay there and they had to walk around and they had to be bound to that person until they died. If you are a servant of sin this morning, you are bound to Satan. And if you go out of this world like that, you are bound to death. I ask you again this morning, who are you a servant of? Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Are you a servant of God today? Are you a slave to him? I am thankful I'm a slave to God this morning. Amen? How about you? Thank God that I got rid of that old stuff out of my life years ago. I'm done. You know what? As they come this morning to get a song, I want to ask you this morning, Who are you bound to this morning? Where are you bound? What is your life? Where are you at in your life? You know what? I know this is hard preaching this morning, but you know what? I think sometimes I need to hear it as well as you do. I ask you this morning, is there something in your life God is dealing with you on? Maybe today is the day. Today's the day to come to know Him. Today is the day to get it right. Quit letting Satan's bind you down. Quit letting him make you a slave to something that God's wanting to free you from. Let's stop it this morning. All right? Amen. Let's get a song.